I want you to open your Bible tonight, please, to the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. I preached from these verses a couple of weeks ago, and while I was preparing that sermon, I got the idea for this sermon, and I put it down on a piece of paper so I wouldn't forget it. And if you read the bulletin this morning, you know that I was not supposed to preach tonight. We were supposed to have a guest speaker tonight Dr. Richard Stratton. I guess now that he's a big college president, he goes by Richard, but years ago we called him Dickie. And he was going to be in the area, and the school called him, wanted to know if he could preach Sunday night, and I said, sure. And then with Hurricane Ivan threatening to hit the Clearwater area, Tampa area, he thought it best that he stay at home. So he calls me Friday morning and said he can't come. So I rushed to the piece of paper where I had written my notes and developed the message. So look, please, at verse 38, next to the last verse of this 10th chapter. And I want to read through verse 38 through chapter 11, verse 6. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, the life that pleases God. The life that pleases God. You'll notice here in verse 6, the Bible said, without faith it is impossible to please him. So that means that with faith it is possible to please God. So let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless us and end the message. Well, our Father, thank you for the service tonight. It's been a joy to be here. It's been a blessing already. And Lord, we are now anticipating the blessing from your word. And I just pray that you will bless the preaching of the Word of God tonight. Lord, as best as I know how, I surrender myself to you and ask you to help me and to bless me as I speak. And Father, I wish that I had the tongue of angels so that I could adequately describe and portray what these few little verses mean. But Lord, I don't. I wish I had my glorified body so that I could preach this and give it what it deserves. But again, Lord, I don't. All I have is this old sinful body of flesh. But Lord, as best as I know how, I surrender that body to you and pray that you will bless and use it and help me tonight. Lord, we need to hear from heaven. And I just pray that you'll help us to lay aside all the things that are in our minds right now and just focus and concentrate upon how we can be pleasing to you. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. When a young couple exchanges vows and begin their lives together, they go through a period of what we all refer to as the honeymoon stage of their relationship. During that time, they're both very conscious of one another and one another's feelings and one another's thoughts. They're very accommodating to one another. They are very careful with things that they say and things that they do. But it doesn't take long before the honeymoon is over, and the effort to please that other person slips a little bit, And that old selfish nature comes creeping back into the forefront and problems ensue. You know, a mature and happy couple will be able to recognize this and work hard to keep the honey in the honeymoon. But young couples sometimes have some lessons they have to learn in this area. Well, the same thing is basically true, and the same thing basically happens when a person gets saved. Just after you get saved, there is this consciousness of your new relationship with God. We just want to please the Lord with everything we do. And even though we might not know much about walking with the Lord, that seems to be foremost on our hearts. We just want to get all of God we can get just after we're saved. But you also know that it doesn't take long for the honeymoon in the Christian life to wear off, and it doesn't take long for sin to raise its ugly head and for the devil to stir up what he can within our old natures and place us in a situation where we have to battle against our sin nature. And we end up facing the same problem that every Christian has to face. Do I please God or do I please myself? Now, in our text, we find a couple of fellows mentioned in verse 4 and in verse 5 who lived their lives with the desire to please God. Abel pleased God by bringing God the right kind of sacrifice, and Enoch pleased God with the walk that he had with God. I want to look tonight at these two fellows, and I want to show you how much they loved the Lord and how they were pleasing to their Lord. Now, Hebrews 11 has been called the Hebrew Hall of Fame. Baseball has a Hall of Fame. Football has a Hall of Fame. Golf, basketball, and probably every other sport that is played on the planet. But so does God. Hebrews chapter 11 is the Hebrew Hall of Fame. Now, if you know anything at all about the book of Hebrews, you know that the whole argument in this book is the superiority of Christ. Paul argues that Christ is superior to the Old Covenant and everything connected to the Old Covenant. He argues that Christ is the new way and that everything about the new way is superior to the old way of Judaism. In the very first chapter, in the very first two verses, we see the presentation of Paul's argument that in the Old Testament, God spoke through all the prophets, but now in these last days, God is speaking to us through His Son. And that argument just continues all the way through the book. And the argument that Paul gives just continues on, and he goes on to say that the purpose of this speech is so men will exercise faith. His whole design here, his whole point of presenting the argument is to get us to see the point that he's making in verse 6, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, when Paul starts this section, his premise is found in chapter 10, verse 38, the just shall live by faith. Four times in the Bible, this little statement is found. It is found in Habakkuk in the Old Testament. It is found in Romans. It is found in Galatians. And it is found now here in the book of Hebrews. So I think we would be safe in saying that this little statement, the just shall live by faith, is one of the sub-themes of the Bible. The theme of the Bible, of course, is that salvation is available through the Lord Jesus Christ. But once you understand the theme, and once you get the theme of the Bible, and you get all that straight, and the person gets saved, a major sub-theme of the Bible is the fact that we, now that we're saved, are supposed to live our lives by faith. You get saved by faith, and then Paul's argument and Paul's point is, you live by faith. How do you please God? Well, first of all, you get saved by faith.
How do you please God? Well, after you're saved, you live by faith. That's how you please God. And I want us to look briefly tonight at Abel, and then we'll take a little bit more of an in-depth look at Enoch, and I want to show you a few things about the life of faith. Look, folks, the point of the whole matter is that it is possible to please God. I want you to understand that you and I can please God today. And I want to use these two men to show you how that's accomplished. First of all, look please at Abel in verse 4. The Bible says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. You see, in verse 6, we learn that God can be pleased. And it's amazing to me the myriad of ways that men have invented in an attempt to please God. I honestly believe that the biggest band of religious thieves in this world are those people who are trying to please God through some other means other than faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch very carefully and see what we learn in Abel. In Abel, we realize and we recognize and we understand that the life of faith begins at the altar. The life of faith begins at the altar. Abel met God at the altar. He brought the firstling of his flock and offered a blood sacrifice to God in order to make an atonement for his sin. The only way that you and I can please God is to exercise faith at an altar of salvation. There is no other way, folks. Now, what is an altar? Well, an altar is any place you meet God. You say, well, Pastor, I thought this thing up front was an altar. It is. There's been an awful lot of people through the years that have met God at one of these altars on the front of our church. But an altar is any place you meet God. I mean, for me, the altar was at a church in Cross Lanes, West Virginia, back in October of 1970. And I went forward in a church service and got on my knees and called upon the name of the Lord. And I got saved at the altar in that church. But an altar is wherever you meet God. I mean, an altar can be any place. I have led folks to Christ in airplanes. Isn't that strange? You have an altar that's an airplane seat. I've led folks to Christ in airports. I've led them to Christ in parking lots and restaurants and hospital beds and funeral homes. An altar is any place you meet God. And dear friend, if you're going to be pleasing to God, the first step, the first thing, is to meet God at the altar of salvation. Now let me ask you tonight, have you met God at the altar of salvation? This is the altar where you realize that you are a sinner, and you repent of your sin, calling on the name of the Lord and asking for forgiveness. And you know, that's the only way that anybody's ever going to get saved. We don't get saved by association. We don't get saved by osmosis. Some folks think because they go to church that they're a Christian. Oh no, that's not what saves your soul. I was recently witnessing to a fellow, and I asked him, I said, sir, if you die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And he looked at me surprised, and he said, well, I'm a Christian. And I said, you are? He said, yes. I said, how do you know that? He said, well, I'm not Jewish. And that's how we think sometimes in our country. We know that's not how it works, folks. The life of faith begins at the altar of salvation. Look at the fourth verse again. Look at the verse. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Abel's faith in God is what made him righteous. His obedience to the Word of God. And by Abel's faith, God testified. God gave testimony of Abel that he was righteous. You see, God's problem with us is that we are sinners and we have no righteousness of our own. We're just sinners. The Bible says that all of us are sinners. But by faith, Abel met God at the altar, and when he had faith in what God said, he got the same thing that Abraham got, and the same thing that Paul got. He got imputed righteousness because of his faith. We read in the Bible that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And that is still today the way any of us get saved. We put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus imputes righteousness, His righteousness, into us. And that's the only way any of us have a standing before God, to stand with imputed righteousness. Now, what witness would God give of you today, friend? You see, if you're here tonight and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you are in God's sight unrighteous. And the Bible says that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Take your Bible, hold your place here, but go back to 1 Corinthians for just a minute, the 6th chapter. Let me read you what Paul said about this in another passage of Scripture. Look at the 9th verse, please. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. The Bible here says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." But now look at the 11th verse. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he says, "And such were some of you." Some of you used to be like what he described here in verse 9, unrighteous and just wicked sinners. But Paul said, something happened to you. Well, what was it? Well, read on in the verse. It said, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Only those who through faith meet God at the altar of salvation will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I have no doubt, but what there's probably in a crowd this size, there's probably at least one person who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And dear friend, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, if you want to be pleasing to God, I can tell you, you must start at the altar of salvation. You say, "Well, I'm going to straighten up my life." No, that's reformation, not salvation. There's a difference. What you need is imputed righteousness from the Lord Jesus Christ. "Well, Pastor, I'm going to pray about that. I'm going to think about that." I tell you, you should not pray about some things. Are you listening to me? You say, "Are you kidding me? There's some things you should not pray about?" That's right. What is directly given to you as commandment in the Word of God, you don't have to pray about that. You just do what the Bible says. And the Bible says that we must be born again. So I just want to challenge you tonight. If you're here and you don't know the Lord, you need to come to the altar of salvation and get this matter straightened out tonight. Secondly, look please at verse 5. How to please God. Well, in Abel, we see where the life of faith begins, and where it begins is at the altar of salvation. But now notice the 5th verse, and we're introduced to a new character. This fellow's name is Enoch. And in Enoch, we see how to live the life of faith. We saw in Abel how to begin the life of faith, but now that you're saved, what are you supposed to do? Well, we learn in Enoch how we are to live the life of faith. Now, hold your place here, stick your bulletin there, or whatever the case may be, and go back to Genesis chapter 5, and let's find out what we can about Enoch here. Genesis chapter 5. Enoch is an amazing character. Now I want you to look please at verse 18. Genesis 5:18. The Bible says, "And Jared lived 162 years. Mercy. and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years. Double mercy. And begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Bless his heart. Verse 21 says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch, what's the next word? Walked with God. After that Methuselah, after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Notice twice here in this passage it says that Enoch walked with God. We're talking about how to please God. How did Enoch please God? Well, it's simple, folks. Enoch pleased God because he walked with God. He didn't walk with the world. He walked with God. He didn't walk with the devil. He walked with God. He didn't walk with everybody else around him. He walked with God. And that's how he pleased God. The prophet Amos asked the question, can two walk together except they be agreed? I mean, to walk with someone has the idea of intimate fellowship, that you're in agreement with that person. And this is what the life of faith does. It allows us to have an intimate walk and fellowship with God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Enoch, by faith, walked with God. Do you want to be pleasing to God? Then you've got to walk with God. Is there anything any greater to walk in fellowship with the God of heaven? Oh, we get saved by faith, but we also live by faith. Just walking daily with God and enjoying the fellowship and the communion that is available with Him. A couple years ago, I was preaching for this young pastor. Came up and introduced himself to me at the Sword Conference a couple of years ago. And he said, man, would you come and preach in my church sometime? And I said, sure, give me a call. So he called me and we set it up. And I went down, I left here on a Monday morning and went to preach for him. And after church was over, we went to get something to eat. And we were sitting there talking, and he said, I hear you like to play golf. Would you like to play golf in the morning? And I said, sure. And so he smiled real big, and he said, I'm not very good, but I'll go play with you. And I said, okay, let's go. So we went out and played. We played 9 holes, and I went into the bathroom You walked down a hallway, you took a left turn, and there was a big water fountain right there. There were telephones on the wall here as you came down that hallway. And then you walked a few more feet and you went into the restroom. And so I came out of the restroom and I stopped at that water fountain, and this young preacher was on the telephone. I recognized his voice, I was getting a drink. I finished getting the drink, and he had his back to me, and I heard him say, guess what I'm doing? And I stopped, and he said, guess what I'm doing? And evidently the person said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm hanging out with Dr. Belcher. And I thought, well, whoop-dee-doo. And I waited a minute until he got off the phone. And then I came around the corner when he hung up the phone, and he said, are you ready? And I said, yeah. And we started outside together. And we got outside the door, and I put my arm up on him, slapped him on the back, and put my arm on his shoulder. And I said, guess what I'm doing? And he went, what? And I said, I'm hanging out with you. And he said, you heard that, didn't you? And I thought, you know, that's all God wants us to do. He just wants us to hang out with Him. He just wants us to sit down and spend some time every day in this book. He just wants us to pray. You see, prayer is you talking to God, and reading your Bible is God talking to you. And that's all God wants out of us. He just wants our fellowship. But do we walk with God like we should? Well, I can tell you how to walk with God just like old Enoch did. And the way to walk with God, the way is to always be increasing your faith. You say, well, Pastor, how can I increase my faith? Well, the answer to that is simple, too. It's given to you in the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, folks, no matter how you slice it, you cannot get away from how important it is for you as a believer to spend time every day in God's Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to be pleasing to God? You say yes. All right. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, Pastor, how do I get more faith? That's it. You get in the book. And the more you read this book, and the more time you spend in this book, the more faith you're going to have. And the more faith you have, the more pleasing you are to God. So many of the birthday cards that I got, many of them had even the ones that abused me mightily, had little notes in them or little things written on another away from the abuse, so I would be able to distinguish between foolishness and seriousness, you know. And so many of you said, Pastor, thank you for making such a big deal about reading the Bible. One lady wrote and said, Pastor, I'm now reading the Bible like I've never read it in my life. Amen. That's what we ought to be doing as believers. And that's how your faith is going to grow. So, Christian, get in the Word and fellowship with the God of the Word. I know I harp on it all the time about how we need to read our Bibles, but hey, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why I harp on it. That's why I make such a big deal out of it. If you're reading the Bible daily, your faith will grow and you will walk with the Lord just like Enoch. But now look at chapter 5 of Genesis and look, please, at verse 24. We saw where the life of faith begins, and it begins at the altar. We saw where the life of faith is lived, and it's lived in the Word by walking with God. But now, notice one more thing, and I'll close. Where does the life of faith end? Look at verse 24. It says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not. He was. And then one day he was not. You say, well, what happened to him? Well, the Bible here says God took him. Wow. You know, dear friend, one of these days, God's going to take you. That's where the life of faith ends. It ends in the presence of God. Isn't that great? It ends in the presence of God. The life of faith ends in the presence of God. You say, well, Pastor, can you explain the theology of this? No, not really. No, not really. You say, well, Pastor, where did Enoch go? Well, you know, the Bible tells us that he went to be with God. And that's good enough for me. You say, well, did he go to heaven, or did he go to paradise like the thief on the cross? Did he go to Abraham's bosom like Lazarus? I mean, just where did Enoch go? Well, I guess he went to be wherever God was. Would you think? You see, God didn't choose to give us all the theological ramifications of this. I mean, the very fact that God's making a point here that if you come to the altar of salvation and get saved, and then you walk with God, I mean, hey, listen, God is going to take you out of here because you came to that altar. You are His child, and one of these days you're going to be with Him. It might be that we're going to be with Him. God takes us out like He did Enoch with that trumpet sounding and us being raptured up. That'd be all right with me too. It's just a beautiful picture of how faith ends for the believer. Paul said to be absent in the body and to be present with the Lord. If the believer dies, he goes immediately to be with Christ. But also notice there's even a more clear picture here of the rapture of the church. One day we will be, and then one day we will not be, for God will have taken us. Can you imagine the headlines in the Baltimore Sun the day after the rapture? Can you imagine? How are they going to explain that? I tell you, probably aliens come. Aliens visited Earth. No, the Almighty visited Earth. I can just see it now, folks. One of these days, people all over Westminster are going to drive by here on Sunday or on a Wednesday night, and they're going to say, where'd all those nuts from Open Door go? I wonder what happened to that bunch. But wait a minute, folks. Where he went and how he got there is really not important. The important thing that we see here is where the life of faith ends. And the life of faith ends in the presence of God Himself. I remember years ago, Brother Roloff used to come to Greenville and preach. He preached in at least one church every year when I was in college in Greenville. He was always at one church or another. And Brother Roloff just had a way of saying things. And he always came to the Boulevard Baptist Church just right after we got back from Christmas break. And he always came like the second or third week of January. And every year he preached out of anywhere from Genesis 4 to Genesis 8. Every year, all 4 years I was there, he always preached out of those passages. And I asked your grandfather one time, I said, I wonder why he did that. And Curtis started laughing, and he said, oh, I can tell you. He said, did you ever see the man? Did you ever have him preach? Well, I said, no, he died. He died before I could ever have him to come preach for me. And he said, Brother Roloff never wrote a note in his life. Never preached with a note. So he never had any idea what he was going to preach on until you said, Brother Roloff, come and preach. And he'd walk up in the platform and he would open his Bible. Now remember, it's January, starting the new year, and he's starting reading his Bible through that year. And so wherever he was reading that morning, that's where he preached on. And I tried to remember, I know that I heard two sermons on Enoch. No, not even close to one another. But two sermons on Enoch from him. And I never will forget the way he was describing it. And he said, God and Enoch went out for a walk one day. Oh, they enjoyed their fellowship together. And they got all carried away in the conversation. And finally, Enoch looked down at his watch and said, mercy, look at the time. I'm never going to get home in time for dinner. My wife is going to kill me. And God smiled and said, Enoch, why don't you just come on home and eat at my house tonight? And God took Enoch on to be with him. And Enoch was not, for God took him. Let me ask you, dear friend, do you want to please God? You must have faith to please God. First, saving faith where you come to the altar of salvation. Abel teaches us about that. But then there's serving faith. And that serving faith is where you walk with God in fellowship with Him as you are in His Word. And dear friend, the end result is that one of these days we're going to be with Him in His presence. May God help us to live the life of faith. Bow your heads, please.